Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to the Computer Guys here. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're the Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
Wednesday afternoon, Kev, 12:30 here. Pretty much right on the button.
Yeah, best time of the week.
It is a good time of the week. Saturday morning is a pretty good
through
time
the week,
when I sleep
halfway
in.
Halfway through the day. Come on now. It's all downhill from here.
That's right.
So you could pretty much say that we are the peak of your week.
That is true.
That's okay. You could say that.
When we were at 4:30, we really were.
It's true.
Give us a call here, 395-1450. The Computer Guy is here. Today, for the next half hour, we'll be talking about computers and technology and mostly things related.
Mostly.
The non-political
Sometimes
show.
We, go in other directions as prompted by the leadings of the news or a phone call or an email. So
give us a call, 395-1450. If you have any questions about your computer, we'd love to help you out here. We'll also be taking your emails as well as reading some stories or talking about some variety of stories here. Computerguys@whtc.com is our email address here. Again, that's computerguys@whtc.com. Just as a friendly reminder, you can always check out the podcast, which is free.
Mm-hmm. And easiest way to do that, Apple iTunes. Go ahead and download that. That's a free download. Type WHTC into the music store, and we will pop up and listen to us anytime. We are also streaming. So if you want to go to WHTC's website and listen that way, you can do that.
That's right. Let's take this call here. Afternoon caller, you're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi. I wanted to know, do you know of a way to access the TV through the new BlackBerry 8350i?
What do you mean, access the TV?
To be able to watch TV on the BlackBerry.
Do you have that as part of your subscription?
Yeah, we have the whole plan for any kind of, to get your emails, to get internet, everything.
And what carrier are you with? Are you with Sprint?
Nextel.
Oh, Nextel? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There should be an application right on the device itself to be able to watch TV. On the Sprint ones, there's a Sprint TV functionality that's built into it. So you should have a little icon for a program that actually is the TV program.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I'll go through it again.
Keep looking. They may have given you a manual. Check out in the manual. It might talk about the TV functionality built in. The other thing to do is to use the web browser and go to a website and see if you can watch TV that way.
Usually it's a built-in listed in that program list.
Yep.
I definitely am not an expert on the BlackBerry, but yeah, usually there's the whole program list there. They've got your web browser, contacts, calendar, all that listed in there.
Keep looking for a little TV function.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
The other thing is that if it's not in there, usually there's a disk, some software that's included with the BlackBerry.
Yep.
Because you can set it up to sync with your computer. So if it's not on there, if you can't find it in that list, might want to pop that disk in that came with it.
Sure.
If you still can't get it, I would contact where you got the phone from.
Yeah, because that is a program.
What was the old one called before it was called Sprint TV? Mobi TV?
That was an add-on.
Was that an
add-on? That one wasn't built in. The Sprint TV is the one that's built in on the Sprint units. So
got another phone call here. Good afternoon, call. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah, in the last week or two, I've received several invitations to join Facebook. They're people that I've known, and they have kind of encouraged me to join them on Facebook. And since I'm kind of on the older side of the population, my question would be, what are the pros and cons of my considering doing this?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, I think that we should sort of take the opposite approach here. I've joined Facebook. So I would say that I will tell you the cons, and Kev, who has not joined Facebook, could probably tell you the pros, sort of do like a little opposite thing here.
I want to tell you why you don't even need to bother.
Well, the downsides to it, I mean, honestly, it's kind of a joke, but it is true, is that a lot of people spend a lot of time on it.
Yep.
That is one of the downsides.
So if you have a lot of time, it's a great way to fill time.
If you don't, and you're not looking for another thing to use time, because it's kind of fun. I mean, there are a lot of people that you'll see on there. You can search by the year that you graduated from high school or college, different groups that people belong to. It's kind of a fun thing, and I think you'd find that it will take up a lot of your time.
Sure. One of the cons to not joining is if you want to follow up with these people and they have set themselves up on Facebook, you can't really check their stuff out, the stuff they're posting, unless you join Facebook. That's kind of their way of, keeping things a little bit more private. But basically, without, you know, accepting that invitation and joining and setting it up, you can't really go and see all the stuff they're posting. So if you do want to follow up with these people, you will need a Facebook account. But, you know, like we've said, you may find it slightly addicting once you get there.
So once I join at the invitation of these two people, then I'll probably be connected in lots of different ways.
Well, yeah, and the way it works is basically somebody has to make you their friend, and that's their term for it. And that basically means that they've either sent you an invitation, you've responded, or you've sent them a request to become a friend, and they've responded. Once you're on their friend list, then you have access to their content, so you can see the photos they're posting and everything else. So then it becomes this, you know, there's this kind of unofficial ranking out there. The more friends you have, somehow the more popular or valuable as a person you are. So people start blasting out lists to every friend possible, making connections every which way. It's fun because you'll probably see stuff that you would have never seen from somebody you knew a long time ago, but that'll lead you down a rabbit trail, and you'll see somebody else and somebody else and somebody else, and there goes a couple hours. So just know what you're getting into.
Okay, Dave, how many hours a day do you spend?
You know, Facebook? Honestly, it would be measured more by the week. Probably about an hour a week is what I spend.
Okay.
So it's not terrible.
So there, if you've got an hour
no
a week.
There are no hazards in terms of corruptions or
no, there
or
was
viruses
one,
or so forth.
There was one virus that came out a couple months ago, but yeah. Other than that, it's a lot safer than what we saw with, like, MySpace. But as with any of those sites, the thing that you want to be careful of is we saw a lot of people get in trouble on MySpace because their friends would have links to funny videos or different sites that. So MySpace wasn't the problem. It was the link to another
website.
Yeah,
anything that takes you away from Facebook, you are putting yourself slightly at risk. The other thing, too, is you know, making sure that when you receive a friend request, it is legitimate and not just somebody trying to get your information or take you to another website.
Okay, thank you very much. That's been very helpful.
Thanks for your call.
I find it to be enjoyable. It's it's mostly a social thing. It's
I wouldn't say that it's not enjoyable. I imagine it's enjoyable. It just takes extra time, which
doesn't take that much
really
time.
I really wanna.
But
do
the
right now.
It's just sort of a fun little social thing. You can catch up on people with people that maybe you haven't seen in years. Because, you know, you've got a little opportunity to put some of your information on there. It's just sort of whatever you choose to put. If you're married, if you have kids, if that type of thing. So I joined and uploaded a few photos. I made an account for you.
No, you didn't.
I think I might make one
you
for
didn't.
You.
You won't. And nobody will ever believe that it's actually me. And they'll send me a request to become their friend, and I will say no.
I'll accept them all.
No, you would. Jerk.
So you know, MySpace was a little bit different because it was, you know, people always had flashy pages and
MySpace, it's really, you know, its inception was designed for musicians to be able to share music and to put it out there for the public to come and see. And so that's why there is so much active content where as soon as you go to somebody's page, it's playing music, you know, because that's how the musicians wanted it, that you go to their website and you hear some of their songs, follow up where they're going on tour. And there is still some of that out there, but it's become so much more than that, and that's kind of where I think people got into trouble.
And the thing about Facebook is that there are a lot of people. It's not just people in their teens or 20s who are on Facebook. There's people from just about every generation, age group out there. So if you're older, I wouldn't say that's not a reason to join. Now, when Facebook started, it was designed only for college students.
Yeah, that's right. I remember when that started.
Yep. And so that was
my sister-in-law was. They were on it right away. Right when it was almost nothing.
Yeah. I remember when it first got going. I mean, within a couple of months of when it was released, and it took off fast.
It's crazy how that happens.
And so now it's kind of fun. You can, like I said, it's not something I spend a ton of time on, but.
Well, speaking of Facebook, there's been a privacy change, and that's sparking a federal complaint. The backlash against Facebook's updated privacy policies is about to expand. The Electronic Privacy Information Center is preparing to file a formal complaint with the FTC over the social network's updated licenses. This is an article from PC World. We think that Facebook should go back to its original terms of service. So basically, they've changed their policies. More than 38,000 Facebook users joined a user group protesting the change. The changes were made in early February, but were not really widely noticed until this past Sunday when somebody the consumerist. He's like, I'm going to sit down and read this. And then he read through the subtly shifted language, and the section in question explains how Facebook has an irrevocable perpetual license to use your name, likeness, and image in essentially any way, including within promotions or external advertising.
Although, as a little thing to go along with that, Kev, I did happen to catch this morning as something that they're going to be reversing those changes.
Are they really?
So.
Okay.
Well, it's sort of an open-ended thing. I mean, what are the chances that if you have a Facebook account that they're going to grab your picture and post it all over the web? Pretty slim, considering how many pictures are on.
But they were open to doing that, basically. Right. That was within the bounds. And that's when you sign up for it and all of those scrolling pages of text that you have to agree to, which nobody ever reads, that was posted in there. So I guess, you know, for the previous caller who was asking about that, if that's a concern to you, you might want to wait until that policy changes before you sign up.
Was the year 2001, Kev, I believe, that Apple announced that they were opening their stores?
I don't remember.
I think it was about 2001.
Sounds about right.
And if you remember, let's rewind a little bit here. Time goes fast.
Back in time.
Eight years ago now. At the time, Gateway stores, the Gateway Country stores, were closing.
Yep.
Remember, they had opened all the Gateway stores around where you could go and just buy Gateway computers. And it was, unfortunately, Gateway, it was a big mistake that they did that. It did not work out like they thought it would. Even though I did go to the one in Grand Rapids, it was pretty cool. So Apple opened up their stores, and everybody thought, oh, boy.
Here we go
again.
What
are they doing? Their company's halfway out of business, and now they're just going to put it all the way in.
Yep.
Well, it didn't turn out like that. No. Worked out pretty well for them.
It did work out pretty well.
So Microsoft now is deciding that, hey, maybe let's just try this. Just a couple of stores. So Microsoft announced, and this is a story according to CNET, that Microsoft is going to open a few retail stores. In the Beyond Binary blog, they report, after years of brushing off the notion, Microsoft said last week Thursday that it will open its own line of retail stores. Without detailing the plans, Microsoft said it has hired David Porter, a 25-year Walmart veteran, to lead the effort.
Interesting.
Sources say that Porter's mission will be to develop the company's retail plans and that that the effort is likely to start small with just a few locations.
Probably not around here.
So I don't think we'll see one in downtown Holland
anytime soon. Nobody ever puts one here.
But Microsoft is definitely taking a little bit more of a proactive approach for promoting their products to, I mean, we heard even they were testing out putting some specially trained salespeople in different stores to kind of help people through the shopping experience.
Sure.
Although if they took my advice and just made one or maybe two versions of the products instead of five or six, it would be easier.
Though I did hear in some development for Windows 7 that they're going to be focusing on two. There will be six available, at least as of now, but they're going to focus on two.
It would be nice if it was just called Windows 7 and you could purchase it.
That's right.
Or like Windows 7 cheap.
It's going to be the basic professional and the home premium, essentially, or something like that, that they're going to focus on.
One of my small complaints about Vista, because I really don't have that many, is on Vista Ultimate, it's got a lot of nice extra features, right? Yeah. But one of the small features is that it also includes a lot of the things, the extras like the
dream scenes
and things like that.
You play around with that? Where you set your background to a video?
Right, which is cool. But don't get me wrong, that's really sweet. But it's a little bit disappointing because I would have thought that they would come out with more. Like every time you do an update for Windows Vista Ultimate, there's really nothing.
There were a couple.
Microsoft Tinker came out. I don't even know what that is.
A couple of rounds of the dream scene extras, and they threw a couple more dream scenes in. They're giant downloads, a couple hundred megs each, so.
Yeah, all I'm saying, Kev, is you pay extra, you want to get a little bit more.
That's true. Well, you want a little back massage, don't you? You want a little back massage.
No, I recognize that's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. The make your breakfast pack, that's what you're looking for? Yeah, I see how you are. It's never enough.
Well, Kev, we've got a couple other ones here. I think we had mentioned a couple weeks ago that Russia is developing their own operating system. Did we mention that?
I don't think we did. I think we must have skipped over that.
Well, Russia is looking at developing their own open source Linux-based operating system.
I want to jump back to those Microsoft stores. If they start throwing Microsoft Surface in those stores, they're going to be sweet.
That'd be awesome.
I want to see that product, and I want to see it being used.
Hey, when Microsoft Surface first came out, I sent them an email, and they sent us an offer, a special offer, to be one of the few to purchase that. But it's a little pricey, so it's not going to be in the store anytime soon.
So if you want to buy it for us, we've got the information. We'll even tell you how much.
Let's take this call here. Good afternoon, call. You're on with the computer, guys.
Thank you. I upgraded to Microsoft Office Small Business 07, and I have SBC Global, and I can't get my emails to go out.
Are you, so you're using Microsoft Outlook?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're not the first person to have problems sending email, either with AT&T or SBC or any of those. It's getting it set up correctly can be a little bit difficult.
Okay.
And the other thing is that over the past, they've changed their information so many times that people have had had some problems. So so you're using Microsoft Outlook to try to send and receive emails?
Yep.
You said you can't send, but you can receive?
Yeah. They're coming in, but they won't go out.
Hey, does it generate an error when you try and send it out?
No, it just doesn't tell me anything until I pull up my side little, my left side little navigation panel, and all of a sudden they see Outbox has 9 of them has to go.
Oh, okay. And if you hit the send and receive button, does it come back with an error?
Let me go into Outbox and send and receive. Doesn't come back with anything at this point.
Because there's going to be some security settings. When you went to set up your account in Outlook, did you go through the recommended instructions from AT&T?
No.
Okay. There's a series of instructions that you need to follow as far as you have to change a couple of port settings and set some security settings. You're going to want to basically log into AT&T's website.
Okay.
I think it's att.yahoo.com. And from there, you'll log in using your username, which is your, basically, it's going to be your email address.
Okay.
And then the password that goes along with that.
Okay.
And in there, there's what's called a member center. And in the member center includes all the instructions for setting up different email clients. And they will have one specifically for Outlook 2007. Okay. And so basically, you go in there and you just follow those settings to the T, okay, and you will have no problem sending.
Okay, so I'm going to go and log in with my email address and password. I'm going to find Member Center. I'm going to do email clients 2007 and follow directions to the T.
Follow the directions to the T, and it will walk you through what you need to do. They use a couple of non-standard settings, which is probably the problem that you're running into.
Here's the actual site. If you go to, if you want to jot this down a second.
Yep.
It's helpme.att.net.
Helpme.att.net.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And it's something that we could walk you through, but it's a lot of, you have to go to the tools, email accounts, settings, preferences, advanced. It takes a little bit to go through. So if you get hung up, it's right on there on their site. They'll ask you for your email address and just hit continue. And this is probably the place to get the most up to date settings.
Okay.
Helpme.att.net.
Thank you so much. I will work on it.
Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye. And, callers using the same email program, Kev, that we do, Outlook 2007.
Yep.
I like it. It's got a calendar feature built in.
Yeah, and includes
fast searching.
It includes some pretty good junk mail filtering built right in, so it works well.
I forgot about that site there, helpme.att.net. Go in there, put your information in. Kev, switch topics a little bit here. The iPhone.
Sure. The $99 iPhone, did you hear about that?
I think we mentioned that last week.
No, they're actually available.
Really?
From Apple's website. But they're refurbished. So that's how they're doing. I think it's an 8-gig model. It's
a refurbished. That's pretty sweet. So, and you know what sweet new application you can put on your iPhone?
What's that?
The application that will allow you to count cards in blackjack.
I heard about that.
Did you?
Yes. I think I have a little story about that. Okay, tell me what you've got here.
Well, it's... This came out, I don't know, a few weeks ago. I think it's, what was it called? Hi-Lo is the name of the actual application. Anyway, what it does, and it can work in stealth mode. So if you, I don't think you'd really want to bring this to a casino, seeing as they probably kick you out.
Yeah, you leave your little iPhone on the table and the program's telling you what to do.
Right, but it'll work in stealth mode where it'll, the screen will turn off and it'll continue to count cards. So... I don't know. It's just kind of,
So the screen's off.
The screen's off, but it's using the camera that's built in there to count the cards that come through to tell you. Then you can still use the
controls. So you have to position to be able to see the cards.
As far as I know.
Which is going to be a little difficult. How are you going to have that hovering over the table?
Hold on. So anyway, it allows you to use the iPhone or the iPod Touch.
Interesting. Card counting by players isn't illegal in Nevada, but using a device to count cards is considered a felony. The Nevada Gaming Control Board warned casinos about the apps last week. Nevada learned about the program from gaming officials in California, who said officials at an Indiana casino found customers using it. For those unfamiliar with gambling tricks, card counting can help in blackjack, help players determine when they are likely to win a hand and adjust their bets accordingly.
Well, see, hold on here. Maybe it doesn't use the camera. I thought that it did. I thought somebody told me that it did, but you can use the keys with the screen being off.
I was going to say, if it's using the camera, that's pretty sophisticated.
That's what I thought, too, but now I'm just looking through here. Now, I don't.
And then you point the camera at the dealer, and you can read the dealer's brain and tell you what's coming up next. That's the next app that'll be out there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to use that, but maybe in your underground gambling circles, you could probably
use it. Which, you know, I spend a lot of time doing that when I'm not doing Facebook, so this is going to come in handy. So this is... What's that?
I was just going to say, it's always interesting to see what different applications people come out with for these things.
I like that. Now, did that get approved on Apple's list of approved apps?
I don't know.
Can you download that through, because then they could be held responsible, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, there was another app that I was reading about that people liked, but it wasn't approved. So you had to run the jailbreak, which basically kind of unlocks your phone. But when you do that, it voids the warranty, so...
In addition to Russia launching their own operating system, Kev?
Yep.
They'll, from here on out, be known as Comrade. We've also got
is that
one.
Actually what it's called?
That's what I'd call it, though. Cuba is launching their own Linux variation
of
an operating system.
That's hilarious.
So they've decided that Cuba has launched its own version of Linux in order to fulfill its government's desire to replace Microsoft operating systems. Getting greater control over the information process is an important issue, said Mr. Valdez, who heads the commission pushing Cuba's migration to free software.
I think I want a copy of it. That'd be sweet.
What would they call that one? I don't know.
Castro. That's right. I don't know.
So anyway, in Cuba, they're developing their own too. I don't know. See, what I don't understand is there are already so many different versions of Linux out there.
Why do you need your own? Why does it need to be country specific?
I don't know.
Maybe it's an issue of national pride.
Maybe in the United States, maybe we should have our own.
Maybe.
Also, Kev, as a part of the stimulus package, while there's no stimulation in there to buy a bunch of new computers,
it's too bad.
There is a lot for batteries.
Really? Oh, you mean battery technology?
Battery technology, right. Provisions in the congressional stimulus bill could help jumpstart a new multi-billion-dollar industry in the U.S. for manufacturing advanced batteries for hybrids, electric vehicles, for storing energy from the electric grid to enable the widespread use of renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
It contains tens of billions of dollars in loans, grants, and tax incentives for advanced battery research and manufacturing, as well as incentives for plug-in hybrids and improvements to the electrical grid, which could create a market for these batteries. Significant advances in battery materials, including the development of new lithium-ion batteries, have been made in the U.S. in the past few years, but advanced battery manufacturing is almost entirely overseas, particularly in Asia, which is pretty much where all the batteries come from.
Yeah.
So does that mean that your laptop, which only gets 3 hours battery life, might get six in a few years? We can only hope.
Maybe. Or it's going to be, nuclear powered and it'll run forever.
And then that we kind of go.
You can't smash those together because that's not a good idea. Did you hear about that?
I did. They said it was more like bumper guard speed than anything.
I don't know how that happens, though.
You're underwater, you don't really know where you're going.
Yeah, but you got all these advanced systems, and yet somehow these two nuclear subs
bumped into each other. Advanced batteries, hopefully that it'll trickle down for
computers. And Michigan is trying to get on board with this. I know that the government in Michigan, those who make these decisions are trying to apply for all possible fundings and set up an advanced battery technology development here in Michigan. So we may see this coming to fruition, which is great because then maybe, when you need a battery, you won't have to buy it from the other side of the world, and wait. And then, if you got a problem with it, returning and everything like that. So
this next one, Kev, is a little bit
of a... You just go next door to your battery shop.
There you go. The next story here is a little sad, sort of an end of an era story.
What's that?
Well, Palm has decided to pull the plug on Palm OS.
And the new one?
Well, they're betting their future on the Web OS.
Oh, yeah. That's okay with me.
Well, I know, but Palm OS has been around for so long.
You know, good things must come to an end. And that thing needed to come to an end a couple of years ago.
Well,
you know, it was great because it was fast, it was functional, but it just got so out of date. The problem is it wouldn't support new applications, and as they moved forward and, you know, making Palm's web-enabled and web-accessible, the browsers that they would include and everything else couldn't support the latest security, and it was getting kind of frustrating.
The current Centro smartphone, Kev, it will be the last to use the current Palm OS. There will be no more Palm OS products.
So if you want one, go out and buy it now.
They'll be transitioning to Web OS as their core operating system.
We'll have to see how that works.
So, as well as supporting Microsoft Windows products in the enterprise segment of the market.
Yep, and they did that a couple of years ago. They opened up and they said, okay, we're going to make hardware, and then we're going to allow, you know, Microsoft to put their system on there. And they've done a nice job with that. The Trio, it's a pretty great business phone. So, that's one option.
Which one do you have, Kev?
The 800W.
800W is what you have.
It's only available to Sprint users. There's also the Trail Pro, which is an unlocked version. Still runs Windows Mobile, but that works on GSM networks. So it's actually more of a world phone. You can use it in many other countries, but it's considerably more expensive since Sprint subsidizes the cost when you buy it with a contract.
Also, Kev, this is one other one that I found quite interesting. Microsoft, now this is not 100% official yet.
Sure.
But right now they're talking about offering free upgrades to Vista users who want to go to Windows 7.
Ooh, interesting.
With Windows 7 set for release sometime, you never
know. Late 2009.
Yep. Microsoft is getting ready with their free upgrade program, which will allow Vista users to switch to Windows 7 when it arrives. The folks at TechARP have consistently scored accurate scoops on Microsoft software releases. They have now revealed Microsoft's upgrade plans, scheduled, and even screenshots of the upgrade process.
Sure.
And, you know, I think on the one hand, I think, you know, gee, you really need to. But on the other hand, hey, it's free. Why not? What the heck? Free upgrade to the new version of Windows? That would be pretty nice.
I agree.
Considering we've always had to pay in the past.
I'm wondering if that would, and they're probably counting on this, people running out and trying to snap up Vista in anticipation. And you know, get more people using Vista, which isn't a horrible thing. So
wouldn't that be funny if people complained about the new one instead bought Vista?
There you go.
So I just thought, Kev, maybe you'd appreciate
that. I'm waiting for my freebie.
Although
I'm not going to jump on it right away, but.
Right. We downloaded the Windows 7 beta a few weeks ago, and I've still not gotten around to actually installing it on anything.
Yeah, a couple of our guys have been running it and playing with it a little bit.
Carl's been using it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Forgot to ask him what he thinks.
I don't think he's running on a super powerhouse computer.
His network card didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
So that would sort of limit what you can do with the computer.
Yep.
But it'll contain Internet Explorer 7 or 8 instead of 7. Kev, we've got just 40 seconds or so left in the show here. Any last news stories that you want to talk about? Or
I just saw this link that looks kind of cool. It's for the Casio G-Shock MTG 1500 watch. I think it's atomic powered.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Taps right into your body.
Let's see here. I'm trying to see. Swatch, nope, looking. I want to see how it's powered. As for the atomic part, it doesn't actually contain any nuclear power. The watch has a radio receiver. Oh, no, that's not very exciting. Well, that's disappointing. I thought it was real. But anyways,
it's a watch that
geeks like. That's what they say. It's got some cool illumination and backlit and everything like that. But at $500, I don't think that's on too many people's list for their birthday items. So anyway, that music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to, or you want to pass this on to your friends, check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that, again, Apple iTunes, WHTC, and the music store. And you can listen to us anytime you want. If you weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and have a great week.